Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day, everybody. This is Monsignor Bill Fay at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary, just outside of Boston. And it's a delight to welcome you back to our little podcast. And I'm delighted today to have with me Deacon Alan Bodecker of the great Archdiocese of St. Louis. And he's here today. We're going to visit a little bit with each other, and we got some very, very good topics to talk about. First of all, Alan, it's a delight to welcome you.
Thank you for the invitation, Monsignor. I'm very happy to be able to participate.
We were talking just a little bit before we started the podcast, and you were mentioning to me that the priesthood was something that you had thought about as a younger man. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I started thinking about priesthood in the sixth grade, and I had a lot of support from my grade school classmates. I entered the seminary right out of grade school. At that time, St. Louis had two prep seminaries. I was in Prep South, went through 4 years there. From there, I went directly into Cardinal Glennon College, which is the college seminary for St. Louis, and then advanced onward up into the theologate at Kenrick Seminary. During that time, was still kind of discerning whether I was going to go all the way to priesthood, or I had met a woman that I had become interested in. She had a family of two boys, wound up leaving Kenrick Seminary in the middle of my second year of theology, marrying. I acquired right away two stepsons through her, and we had one biological son between us. And my occupation started out as a pastoral associate right out of the seminary, did some teaching, did some directing of religious education, and then from there moved into full-time high school theology teaching at St. Louis University High School with the Jesuits for 30 years. So I was married for 38 plus years. My wife died of a long-term illness. And during our marriage, we were foster parents. We fostered a dozen children besides our own three. Had just a wonderful extended family from those foster children, two girls, a set of twins, and now they themselves have children, so I am foster grandparent as well. And in fact, one of my foster children now has grandchildren of her own.
Isn't that something?
And so I'm a foster great-grandparent as well.
That is terrific.
Yes.
How long ago was it, Ellen, that your wife died?
She died in January of 2019, on Epiphany. So I was the fourth wise man, and my gift to the Lord was my pearl of great price.
Isn't that something? And you had mentioned to me that you and your wife had talked about the possibility after her death of reprising this idea of the priesthood.
Yes, she always encouraged my work in the church. We had talked about what if, you know, she were to predecease me. That actually came up in my diaconate formation as a permanent deacon. I was ordained as a permanent deacon in 1997 and had worked with the diaconate program all the succeeding years in helping to form men, both through education and as a mentor. When she got on in her illness, we started talking more and more about, you know, practical things about, will I keep the house? Will I stay in St. Louis? Things like that. When the end came, we had her funeral, and it was a real celebration because we were not hit upside the head with her death. We knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. And I found out relatively soon after her funeral that my kids all got together and were asking each other, when do you think Dad's going back to the seminary?
Isn't that interesting?
And so knowing that, I knew I had all of their support. And in fact, one son who has really not stuck with the faith at all, but he gave me just a glowing letter of recommendation for ordination to the priesthood.
That's a real amazing thing. I was very touched just moments ago when you mentioned that you and your wife had actually talked about what life would be. So in a certain way, she was a kind of spiritual mother to this vocation that you have as well, confirming it in a very beautiful way.
Yes.
To hear you tell that story of the kids just talking among themselves about how long do you think it's going to be before Dad's in the seminary. What a great story that is.
Yeah. The only thing I told them was, I said, well, if I go back, and they said, you're not going to sell the house, are you? And I said, well, I said, you're going to have to keep track of it for me because I won't be in St. Louis for my formation. Yeah, yeah. So they said, that's fine. We'll keep watching. My neighbors are all aware of my situation, too.
How many grandkids do you have?
I have 10.
10 grandchildren.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
How many folks here at the seminary? We probably have somewhere between 45 and 50 seminarians here. How many dads who have grandkids would you guess?
Five to seven. I'm not sure exactly the number, yeah. But we have a good number of men who have children at least.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many specifically have grandchildren.
These men who come to the seminary after they've lost a spouse, either through death or divorce and subsequent annulment, it's amazing to me how beautiful the relationship is that they have with each other because they share common stories. I mention it at this point here because those of you who are listening may be familiar with men in your life who you think could be extraordinary priests. If you see a man who is single, middle-aged, perhaps is doing some very good work in the church or not even in the church, but you see something in there, don't hesitate to say something to him and say, by the way, has anybody ever told you you'd be a good priest? Sometimes that's just the key that will unlock the door of the mind and the heart to get a man thinking about what his future might look like. You ended up telling me that it was a great surprise that you came to Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary.
Yes.
Tell that story. That's a good one.
Well, some people would say I came kicking and screaming. My original plan was to continue teaching high school, to continue being in my parish as an active deacon, and to just do the practicum that I would need for priesthood, and was told actually by my vocation director at the time that he thought, yeah, probably 9 months to 12 months would be enough and I would then be ordained.
Because you already had how many years of permanent diaconate?
Well, at that time, 24 years, and I've done just about everything that a deacon can do, including running a parish and being a teacher. And so the Archbishop got together with the rector at Kenrick Lennon Seminary in St. Louis, and they decided, no, this was not a good fit. And so they said, you're going to Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. And I said, okay, where is that and when do I start? And they said, well, it's in the Boston, Massachusetts area. The first day I got here, I met Monsignor Conley on the front porch and I was graciously received. All of my stuff out of my van was moved into my room. I would not trade it for anything in the world.
It's been a good experience.
It's been a wonderful experience.
If you were going to promote it to somebody, what would be the things on your mind that would be first to speak?
Being here with men of similar situation insofar as many of us having had a family, having had a career, and that we're now moving into the second or maybe even third stage of our lives mm-hmm. that we can share. We have a father's club that we get together to talk about our continuing relationship with our children and grandchildren. Both good and bad situations that may occur. So there's just a tremendous amount of support. And I remember having been in the seminary the first time, we had a couple men who were advanced in age with us, and it was not a good fit for them. The program here, it's not as heavily academic as it was at Kenrick Lennon when I was there first time, because we have life experience and a lot of us have ministerial experience already. So I don't know that we have necessarily the depth of formation that has to take place this stage in our lives. And yet we're certainly receiving the support in all four pillars that we do need for being good ministers.
Deacon Allen just made reference to what we refer to in the seminary work as the four pillars of formation. And when we work with a man on his way to priesthood, we're looking to see, is the man humanly formed? How's that human dimension? Is he a man that has really grown up in all the full sense of that term? We look for spiritual formation. How well formed is the man spiritually? Academically would be the third. And then pastorally. And as Alan just said so articulately, many of the men who come here are already excelling in a number of those areas. So we trim the program in many ways to the fact that they have this experience. I think that that's one of the things that the men appreciate very deeply. Talk a little bit, Alan, about your experience in the parish, especially now as you're approaching priesthood. What parish in the Archdiocese of Boston are you working in now?
This year, and actually last year also, I have been at Holy Name Parish in West Roxbury.
To our listeners, that's a very, very old and tried and true parish in the diocese. In fact, if you got an appointment as pastor there, that was thought to be very, very prestigious. Tell me how your experience is transforming in towards a life of the priest, and again, incorporating in that things that you learned as a deacon.
I think probably it's just helped me to see another parish life. I get a broader perspective of the masses attendance that is taking place. I've had the opportunity to be involved in their parish council meetings. I substitute taught for the pastor, his fifth and sixth grade students, one day that he had to be gone. The rectory houses four priests. One is in retirement. The pastor is still fully active, and he's a teacher at St. John's Seminary. His parochial vicar is also a teacher there, Father Dennis McKieran, who I actually had for a class last year. And then there is a neighboring parish pastor who is living in there also. So it's a good experience of rectory life as well, because the parish that I had been in St. Louis, I was not living in the rectory because I have my own home. And for the last 11 years, there was only one priest in residence. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a real feel for the rectory living experience as much as I've been able to now.
Well, it's been a delight to visit with you today, Alan.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that you put the time aside for us to be able to do this. And I want to thank again the listeners who are present to the podcast and for the prayerful support that you give us. And once again, I want to ask you, if you do recognize someone out there who you think would serve well as a priest, don't hesitate to just offer a kind word, maybe even a note if you don't want to say something to the person personally. And certainly, you might even mention it to the pastor and say, have you got your eye on this fellow? I think he could be pretty good. So thank you for listening. We look forward to having you back. And we'll have another podcast coming up on the 23rd of the month. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. And be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.